What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning in to the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight, and I have another special show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very gifted and prolific guitarist. In 2007, he was honored with the prestigious International Instrumental Artist of the Year Award at the Wave Jazz Awards, and was also nominated as Guitarist of the Year and Entertainer of the Year by American Smooth Jazz Awards in 2007. BET Jazz has described him as one of the most exceptional performers to come along in a long time. Please put your hands together and welcome urban and contemporary jazz guitarist and vocalist, Nick Colleone. What's happening, Nick?
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. Glad to be here talking to you.
Oh, man, welcome to my show, Nick, man. I'm a huge fan of your work, bro, and it's just an honor to have you on my show and chop it up with you, man. It's just truly amazing.
It's an honor for me to be on, you know. I thank you for having me.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. You know, before we jump into some of the interview questions, Nick, man, I just want to flat out tell you, man, one of my favorite songs that you've ever done was High Flying.
Okay.
Man, I got put onto the song around 2004, 2005, man, and I was listening to a lot of satellite radio at the time, just so I can get a little bit more variety in some of the music that I had listened to, especially smooth jazz, man, and you got nonstop play on that, man.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one, you know. That was a good one, you know. That one kind of brought me out there.
And man,
it's still like probably one of my favorite songs that I've done.
I can tell, man. It's just got that radio friendly flavor and format. Just fit so perfect what was going on at the time, and you know, it was just a lot of other elements that I appreciate in smooth jazz, man. He definitely hit it on the head on that one.
Well, you know, tell you the truth, that song almost didn't make that record. You know, that was the last song recorded for that record was finished. And me and John, my piano player, came up with that. And it's like, well, let's go in and do it, and then we'll see. And when we finished it, it's like, I think this is the first single from this record, you know.
Wow.
So it was basically an afterthought, you know, so.
Well, I'm glad I made it, man, because I'm a keyboardist and a producer myself, and these are one of the other songs that I play constantly on a regular, man, when I'm just warming up and really getting to my groove, man. Just the melody so catchy, the chord progressions, the arrangement, man, so it's definitely one of my go-to songs.
Oh, thanks, Kat. I really appreciate that.
So, Nick, man, how did you start this musical journey, man? When did this kind of evolve into a full-time profession for you?
Oh, well, I was like 15, you know. So, I mean, this is, you know, what I've done basically my whole life since I was a teenager, you know. So, and I started doing my own solo projects in the early 90s. Is when I, you know, decided that, you know, maybe it was time to stop being a side man and do something on my own, you know.
Right.
You know, and then it took a little while. You know, I got some pretty good play on my first record, and second and third record with some medium play, and then came High Flying, and it's been good since, you know.
Right, right. Well, you know, I talk a lot about musical influences on my show to a lot of my guests, Nick. You know, who were some of those musical influences that you listened to that really helped you develop your skills as a player?
I would say, you know, first of all, it would have been Wes Montgomery and Kenny Burrell, and then George Benson and B.B. King, Steve Vai, Van Halen. You know, I was really into rock for a long time, Hendrix, you know, and a lot of blues players, Albert King, B.B. King, you know, all the King brothers, you know.
Right.
So, you know, so I would say, you know, my style is basically a big potpourri of all the stuff that I've played, you know, in my career. And out of it, just, you know, I popped out of there, you know. I tried to, it just happens that my style is just influenced by everything that I've played, you know. So it's not traditional to any one thing.
Right.
You know,
as a keyboardist myself, man, funk has been my core genre to really fall back on and kind of build around. Funk is my foundation, man. And I hear a lot of funk elements and licks in your own guitar playing, man. Give me your perspective on how funk has impacted you as a musician. You know, just jam, be able to jam with other musicians and so forth.
Man, I feel the funk, you know, and the funk is in me, you know. I mean, you know, I'm all, that, you know, that's where I'm from, man, you know. So the funk, man, it's like, I mean, when I'm playing stuff, man, you know, it's always very funky R&B influenced, you know, because that groove, you just, you know, right. You know what I'm saying, as a musician, you know what I'm saying, that when you feel that funky groove, it's where you can sit back in that pocket and just lay it, you know, ain't nothing like that.
No, it's not, man. Yeah, I talk to a lot of guys, man, you know, these guys are really great musicians, and the skill level is just off the charts, but, you know, when it comes to funk, man, they're not gravitating to it as close as they would like to, man. And I just feel like, man, sometimes you can't teach funk sometimes. You know what I mean?
No, you got it. You know, funk is like hip-hop, man. It's lifestyle.
Right, totally, man. It's an attitude. It's kind of like your whole your personality. You know what I mean? And it's just
that's what it is. You know, that's what it is, you know. And you can, like you said, you can't teach it, you know.
Right.
It's like the old Parliament Funkadelic song. A lot of them just standing on the verge of getting it on.
And no doubt, man. Now, Nick, you've been recording for a while, man. I mean, 80s and 90s, and now we're, you know, involved into the DAW world and digital recording formats. What are you currently using now, and, you know, what's your preference between the two formats?
Well, you know, even when you create, man, you can use the computer and Pro Tools and Logic and all these, you know, tools that are available to you. It can get to be a little much, you know.
Right.
It's so much stuff available, you don't know where to start a lot of times, you know, sounds and things, you know. And every time, you know, I'm doing a song, it's like, whatever happened to the good old days when you just grab some dudes and run the studio and record a record, you know. So with my records, you know, I try to get as many cats in the studio at one time as possible. You know, it's like, because I want the musicians to feed off each other, you know.
Right.
And that's where you get it. You know, when the bass and the drums are there and they feeding off each other and you playing on top of that, that's when you feel the funk, you know.
Right.
That's when you can go for it.
Right. No, I totally agree with you, man. You know, the way we record and, you know, the way we run sessions nowadays is less personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're just so worried about meeting the deadlines and, you know, I have to fly people back. And I'm an advocate of working virtually. I love it to death, you know, as a producer and composer, if you need tracks late. But building that relationship in the studio, it can be missed a lot of times, you know. And like you say, just having the effectiveness and the energy of other musicians in the same recording session room with you, laying the tracks in real time together, man, and, you know, capturing that those improv moments are timeless, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but by the same token, in the new world, you know, things are a lot more cost efficient and you can get it done quicker, you know, in the virtual world, because it gets costly flying cats in or flying here and there to, you know, get a part from guys, you know. So in that respect, you know, it's great, but you always want to get some of those tunes on there where everybody is just there, you know.
Definitely.
You know, adding their own creative energy, because when you call in a cat to do a session, you call him in for what he does and his feel, you know. So you want, you know, and as a producer, I know you know that you try to grab the right cats who will feel good together, you know, on that particular song.
Definitely. Got to put the right seasonings together, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't want it too salty or too hot.
That's right. You know what I mean? Now, the music that I hear, Nick, all the musicians that are on the CD, do you travel with these guys too? Or these are just high-assessment musicians that you hire for the record only?
No, mostly all my songs are done by the guys who are on the road with me, you know.
Nice.
That way I can take that feel with me, you know.
Right. So. No, it gets hard at times, you know. I understand it's like, you know, if you're especially traveling from coast to coast and maybe budget doesn't allow us to travel all together, you know, we got to kind of hire somebody on the other side of the coast. But, man, it's kind of nice to have that opportunity to travel with your guys, so I hear you.
Yeah, because every time you go out there, you know, and you get to play with a lot of other great musicians, man, but that's a whole different feel, you know. And
right.
I love playing with other cats. I love playing with new cats and feeling what they feel, you know. But when you got your own guys and they're behind you and, you know, they know you, because all the guys that play with me have been with me at 5 years or more. I don't think nobody's been with me less than under 5 years, nobody. And so they know me like a book,
right.
You know. So, I mean, they know if I... If I get ready to sneeze, they know before I do it.
That's right. But I talk a lot about that too, man. Having that chemistry, as a studio musician or a touring musician or a session player, whatever it is that you're doing, and having a crew around you on a consistent basis from project to project, man, you guys just really developed that bond. And I mean, that's where it's at. It keeps projects coming in and out because you guys work good and fast together. And, it takes a while to develop it, man. But once it's solid, man, it's just, you're unstoppable on your projects.
That's it, because, you know, every once in a while you bring in some other cats to play on the session. And a lot of cats just use all studio musicians. And I feel like if a cat is not good enough to play with my on my session, what makes them good enough to play with me on the road?
That's right. No, I totally agree with you.
And then, with the guys that I play with all the time, I tell them, I was like, you guys work for me, but you work with me more so than you work for me. And we're friends. And, so we have that camaraderie, which always makes the music better because of the feeling that we have for each other. We hang out together on the road, We sit in one another's rooms and crack jokes on each other and, talk. And just today, man, it was like our road manager and me in the band, and man, we were like going crazy in the airport, man. People were looking at us like, what are they cracking up about, man? We just like going off on each other,
That's cool, man. outside of your music world, Nick, man, you also received the Wayman Tinsdale Humanitarian Award for your ongoing commitment to mentoring children and also your work in the community. For support of breast cancer causes, man. How did that all come about, man? That had to be a new elevation for a movement for you personally.
It's one of those things, when something touches you, you should follow that. And, with the kids, it was a natural thing. It's like I went to the school to, their principal was a fan of mine and came to all my shows when I was in town, and her and her husband, and she asked me one day, could I help the school do a fundraiser? And I said, yeah, I'll come and do it. And I said, I'm going to come to the school the day before and, just walk around and talk to the kids. And I was hooked, after that, next thing I know, I was coming once a month, and it was like, once every couple of weeks, then it was every week.
Wow.
It was like, I usually try to get in there on like a Monday or a Tuesday, which are usually the better days for me. I'm usually just coming back into town, If I leave, I usually leave on a Wednesday or the weekend. So those days are open, and it just, means a lot to me to be able to work with the kids like that and teach them, what I know and try to teach them what to do and what not to do musically and in life too, and the breast cancer thing, I don't want to see no women suffer with that, and whatever I can do to help them find the cure, then I'm out there to try to do that. So, a lot of people think it's a lot. I'm just a very, very small part of a whole big scope of folks who are trying to get some things done and help out, and it's minute as I might think I am, it's okay, because I know that every little bit helps. I wish I could do more all the time. I don't have the time to do a lot of the things that I would like to do, but I do what I can.
Right. No, you're doing a great job, man. That's where it's at, man. One of my missions of creating this show was for up-and-coming musicians and even seasoned musicians in the music community, man. When I was starting in the early 80s, finding out what guys like you and some of the other guys who I looked up to as musicians were doing currently in the studio, what you guys were using for equipment, how songs were being put together, where it's kind of limited. There was no internet back then, and interviews was very scarce, man. You get a few, but not enough details to really learn from it, man. So I just wanted to put together one spot, man, for all the hottest musicians, producers, and composers, man, so guys can learn from you guys and keep that music industry growing with talent. So no, man, giving back, that's number one on my agenda.
That's it. And you got to keep that in front. It's like, as much as I can get, how much of this can I give to somebody else?
Definitely.
Somebody else, and then you want that person to give to somebody else,
right?
and keep the thing going, you know?
Exactly. You know, Nick, you're a veteran in the music industry, man, and I got to ask you, man, branding yourself as a musician has changed a little bit over the years with the internet. You know, what's been effective for you over the years and the new merger of consistently building your fan base and working as a session player and producer in the industry?
You know, the whole social media thing is great, you know, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, I'm on all of them, you know.
Right.
You know, I've maxed out on my Facebook friends. You know, I probably know three of them personally. You know, but seriously, you know, I think it's a great tool, you know, because with radio being in the state that it's in, you know, it's another avenue to get out there, to get your music out there. And it's also another avenue to meet people. You know, and for people to learn about you and who you are, and for you to learn about other people and other things. So it's great as far as I'm concerned.
Definitely. You know, I'm a big fan of playing covers, Nick, even starting out, even to this day, man. You know, your music, and along with George Duke, Teddy Riley, all of the guys who I listen to. Are there any songs out there that you would like to remake as a fan and really make it your own?
A few songs that, you know, it's like this song by Family Affair by Mary J. Blige. I'm just trying to figure out how to make it translate well to guitar. I love that song.
Oh, yeah. That's heavy production with Dr. Dre, man. I know the song very well, man.
You know, I mean, you know, it's like, hey, I listen to that song all the time. It's like, man, how can I make this happen for a guitar, you know? Because that be kicking me, man. You know?
Right. Hey, man, we got to get together on that one.
There you go, yeah. Dude. You know, that's
I know that song
about.
Very well. We can knock that out.
We can put that one together, man. And you know, say, yeah, Mary, thank you.
That's right. You know, aside from doing the covers, though, man, you know, finding that zone as a creator in the lab, do you find that being in the studio or on the stage, you know, over the years now?
You know, on the stage more so, you know, because that energy that comes from being on the stage and the energy that comes from all the people out there watching, you know, sometimes when I'm on the stage, man, I create songs while I'm on the stage. They come to my mind. A melody will come to my mind. I'll start playing it in a solo while
yes.
I'm playing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, then sometimes I'll say to myself, you know, I hope I remember that, you know, I hope I remember that. Yeah. Then I laughed because I remember Joe Pass saying, well, if it was good, you would remember it. If it wasn't, you won't.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's cool, man. You know, I talk to guys too, man, and, you know, capturing those magical moments from the stage and the studio just never quite, you know, hit it on the head. I mean, it's cool, it's close, but I don't know if it's because of the energy of the audience or it's because we're all bandmates, man. We're just going to that new place of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And man, the cool stuff is outside of the box of the original composition. You know what I mean? And you know, one guy's, oh man, so I totally agree with you.
You know, because it's hard for me to, you know, like, you know, I do arrangements for live and stuff like that, you know, and then I get on stage, man, and my manager said, just let it do what it do, you know?
Right.
And because spontaneity is the key, you know, just be spontaneous. Because my band, they think I'm nuts half the time. Because I turn around in the middle of the song, okay, I'm going here, man.
Right.
You know, yesterday we were in California, in Temecula, and I just deviated away from the whole set list. Like,
wow.
After about the third song, I was like, all right, who's doing this now? And they were like, what? So we went in that song, and then I was like, in the middle of the song, just keep watching me because I don't know what I'm going to do today.
Oh, wow. I can imagine.
And we just kept switching it up and switching it up, man. And then today in the airport, it was like, yeah, my drummer was like, yeah, Mr. Crazy, man. He just wanted to play every song he ever made and make a medley on the stage. And like, he's like, and it was cool. You know, it's like, probably would have been even slicker if we'd have rehearsed it. Really, if we'd have rehearsed it, we'd have messed it up. So.
Right, man. You just got to throw it out there sometimes.
You know?
We'll fix it later.
You know, like, this way it was good because, you know, when we got to it, it happened, you know, and it's like, we didn't overthink it, you know, and try to rehearse it to death and overthink it, and you get up there and start anticipating it, you know, it just happened, you know.
Right.
That's why I like music, man. I just like it to happen.
Right, man. Great, man. Thank God for tape and record, you know what I mean?
There you go, you know.
So, man, we're halfway through the year now, Nick. Man, what's left on the musical agenda for the remainder of the year?
Well, you know, I got a pretty heavy tour schedule starting in about another week and a half. You know, I took off 3 weeks after I came back from Europe. I wanted to have some time, you know. I usually tell my booking agent, you know, June, man, you know, give me a couple of weeks, you know, so I can do my annual fishing trips. And it rained every day.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't have to go back out until Friday, so I got back today, and I've been watching the weather. You know, the weather man changes the forecast every 10 minutes, you know, but
right.
So far it looks like it's going to be good. So the next couple of days, I expect to be out fishing before I go back out. Then after that, I'll be in a little bit everywhere, so, you know, people go to my website and click the tour button. Hopefully I'll be somewhere where they can come, you know.
Oh, they'll be there waiting for you, man. I already know. Well, Nick, it's been a true honor and pleasure having you on my show, man. I'm so glad I had a chance, the opportunity to talk to you, man. I've been waiting for a while, so this was a good one.
Thank you, and thanks for having me, man. And I look forward to meeting you. I'll be up your way.
Oh, yeah. Man, we'll get together and rock it out, man.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, man. Well, Nick, you have a safe 2011, man. Best of luck to you, bro.
You too, Cass.
All right.
Be good, man.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
And a big shout out to Nick Colion for coming on my show and chopping it up with me. Been a big fan of Nick's for a while, and he's just an excellent musician. His music's always had a contemporary edge to it, and, you know, with all the elements of different styles that he blends together, man, you really just can't go wrong with that combination. For more information on Nick Colion, you need to check out his website at www.nickcolion.com. www.nickcolion.com. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit my website up at www.spudtootight.com. www.spudtootight.com. And I'm also available on iTunes as a podcast. So if you have a Mac, a PC, an iPhone, or an iPod, open up the iTunes store, type in the Producer's Corner Spud Too Tight, click on my image, and you'll have a list of my past and current interviews as well. And to close out the show, I'm going to let the track that's playing in the background close out the show, and the track is by Nick Colion, and the title of the track is called Po House. So until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.
Makes me wanna holler. I'm back in the Po House again. I'm back. Ran out of money and I lost my